Join us this week as we descend into the darker side of human nature and uncover the shadows that dwell in the unknown. From chilling true crime and gruesome murders to spine-tingling paranormal encounters that defy explanation, we're peeling back the curtain on things that go bump in the night. So grab a flashlight and maybe a blanket, because you're listening to The Guilty and the Ghostly.
Take two. We're re-recording, guys, so luckily we didn't get that far into the story, but we already started this once, and somebody, not going to name any names, Tori, kept calling us over and over, and I have my phone on Do Not Disturb, but because she's one of my emergency contacts, it just
pushed it right on through.
And we're a family that if you don't answer when we call, you don't get time to call us back. We immediately call back again and again until you answer. So I had to stop and answer it, and I was worried if it caught everything. So we're like, you know what? We're just going to start over. We do need one of those take twos.
I told you we need one. Nobody likes my ideas.
I liked it. I bet we could get one on Amazon.
I bet you could.
We're going to look into that. And then we can put like the episode number and date. That'd be fun.
The title.
Yeah. We'll have to look at that. Well, other than that, we already talked about it, but we had a lazy week. Jackson didn't have practice this week. And so we kind of had a lazy week. It's been nice. And the girls' birthday was yesterday and today, so
Happy birthday, girls.
Happy birthday, girls.
We know you don't listen.
Yeah, they don't listen. They'll never hear that. We could talk so much shite on them right now, and they would never even know. We should. We should just drop one embarrassing picture of them in the podcast every day. Every week, yeah. Mm-hmm. And wait until, kind of like the secret TikTok account. So it's like, I'm going to keep posting until so-and-so sees this. Mm-hmm. And we'll just keep doing it until they listen or watch it on YouTube. That'd be funny. Other than that, we're going to a haunted house tonight. I think it's going to be Bubba's first one. We'll see if he makes it. We don't know if he's going to or not.
I know Six Flags last year was...
He was screaming and clawing to climb up into our arms. Yeah. But now he's like almost as tall as me. Well, not almost as tall, but
you're pushing it.
He's getting pretty close. I don't know if I can carry him very far.
So. I'll just put it this way. He's finally tall enough to ride all the rides.
Yes. Oh, that was so disappointing. So we actually went to Six Flags last weekend, and we went Sunday night. We're like, it won't be that bad. It's Sunday night. We have never seen it that full before.
Not on a Sunday.
Never seen it that full. I had to park all the way in like the very back parking lot, like probably over a mile.
It was a mile and a half easy.
It was so full. All the wait times for the rides were 100 minutes, 190 minutes, 120 minutes. And we're like, we're not doing this. Well, the river rapids happened to be open.
It had like a 10 minute
wait. We knew we were going to ride anything else. Josh and I were in jeans because we had left a work event for me. And we just didn't feel like changing. And so we're like, you know what? We'll just do it. We're probably going to leave after it anyways. Hopefully we won't get that soaked. The kids wanted to get soaked. The only two that got soaked on that ride was me and Josh. Completely soaked, head to toe. So we left, and then we're like, all right, well, I had a work event that next day that we went to at the state fair, and it's Monday, it's Columbus Day, surely it won't be that bad. It wasn't as packed as it was Sunday night, but it was still packed. And not only that, they're renovating several rides. So there's like 4-5 rides that are shut down right now. So instead of the lines being, you know,
having somewhere to actually go.
Having multiple rides. They're all concentrated on the ones that are open. So it was still long lines. And we finally talked Jackson and going to a big ride. He'll ride the Shockwave, but he would not ride any big rides. Well, of course, this time he's like, I'm ready. I'm going to do it. We're like, okay, awesome. We're going to go big or go home. So let's go get on Mr. Freeze. Because none of us have rode it either, because either he's with us or the line's too long or it's shut down. Mm-hmm. We stood in line for
about 45 minutes.
45 minutes. We were so freaking close. We were almost there. And they shut down the ride. And we had to leave. We were so mad.
Mm-hmm.
But we did talk him into the Catwoman ride. He was a little nervous, but after he got on it, he was ready to go again. So it was fun. I think next time we go with him, it's going to be a lot more fun. Mm-hmm. Get him on some more rides.
I think so, too. He actually really enjoyed that. At first, he started to freak out.
Yeah.
Because I had sat with him. And whenever we sat down on it, he was excited.
Yeah.
And then whenever he thought about having that thing come down on him.
Yeah.
He was like, Dad, I'm nervous. I don't know if I want to do this. And I was like, it's fine. You know, they look, that other kid right in front of you is just about the same size. And he's like, I know. But, and I was like, just relax, it's going to be all right. And then finally, whenever they started coming down, he kind of jumped a little bit. But then it came down, I got him buckled in and everything like that. And then he started to calm down some. And when the ride first started, he was so tense. He was so tense. But then about the first couple of rounds that we made, he was giggling.
Yeah.
He was having a great time.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, I forgot it's going to go up.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, you start out just going in a circle. But as you go in a circle, it starts tilting to where you're literally going upside down. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of goes back down as it's coming.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. Other than those freaking kids going 6, 7.
That is the dumbest trend ever.
15 seconds.
But we say that. But do you remember what ours was?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not even. I did see on TikTok too, where it's like, I'll let y'all have 6, 7 because little Wayne 6'7". Mm-hmm. I can vibe with it. And I was like, all right. It wouldn't have been so bad that like one over here would say it, and then the one on this side would say it, and then this, and it was just continuously 6'7", 6'7".
Oh, and then there was one point where it had gotten quiet for a second, and one of them said it again, and somebody came back. In the same, like, sing-songy saying, shut up.
They were right behind us. It was the girl right behind us.
It was so fun.
Yeah, it was hilarious. So, it was fun. We enjoyed it. We enjoy Six Flags. We've got, every year for Christmas, we get the girls and Jackson Six Flag season tickets. That's our big Christmas present. And
yeah,
we get our money's worth because we normally go for birthdays. We go for any events I have in Dallas. And
they work for a lot of different places.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sometimes we can go to Six Flags. Sometimes we can take them to the water park.
Yeah. Hurricane Harbor. Well,
did we lose it?
No. Because even when I did the thing with Tori, it was still, it uploaded. So we just went through all that with Tori because she kept calling me. Well, what do you know? Tamara, who's also my emergency contact, just called me. But I think we're good. We're going to go with it.
She means we hope we're good.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, but we really do need one of those things now.
Yeah, I'm popular. And now our daughter's texting me. I guess my do not disturb does not work.
Or you forgot to turn it on.
No, I turned it on right before we started.
I don't know.
I don't know either, guys. It's rough. But yeah, so we've been doing Six Flags, getting ready for parties, enjoying life. Oh, and then, should I say about the true crime? I better verify it first, make sure it's that guy.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. To be continued. Yeah. I may have a true crime.
Local.
A local, a very personally, personal to me. Well, I mean, it's not personal to me, but I possibly had dealings with somebody that was convicted. It was a doctor for sexual assault. And we'll just leave it at that. If it turns out it is that guy, I'll let y'all know next week. But there may be something developing that was interesting. So we'll leave it at that. All right. Well, I guess we'll, now that we've done all that, again, we'll just go ahead and jump right back in. You ready to hear the first part of the story again?
You mean we didn't listen to this already?
No, this is new.
Gotcha.
Okay. Gotta be surprised.
I'll act surprised.
Great. Well, as you know, parents didn't always check their kids' candy. It was, you know, go get your candy, go get your fun, eat your candy while you're walking by the fistful is great. Well, that all changed in 1970s when a mix of urban legends, media hysteria, and one very real murder ignited nationwide terror.
Is that surprised enough?
Clutch your pearls. Clutch your pearls. The 1960s, scattered news stories and rumors began circulating that strangers were putting razor blades in apples and poisoning candy.
I remember something about when I was a kid, and we mentioned this in the last time too, whenever I believe there was a movie that might have been based on those stories.
Or it may have been based on this story. Who knows?
Maybe. I know it was probably an early, or maybe late 80s or early 90s movie, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
I just remember the scenes, some of them. They really stuck with me. Yeah, I'll look and see if I can find it.
Well, investigations found no verified cases of this, but still people's supposed stories spread through newspapers and on TV. By the early 1970s, the idea that someone could poison your child through candy had taken root in America. A big turning point came in 1974 in Deer Creek, Texas, a suburb of Houston, when an 8-year-old boy named Timothy O'Brien died after eating a pixie stick on Halloween night.
So, don't eat pixie sticks.
Don't do it. Which we talked about this earlier, too. It's almost more sinister. I mean, obviously it's sinister killing somebody, but this has so many different elements to add to the sinister because of, one, who did it? Because you are not, I mean, it's awful. Two, this is supposed to be a night of fun for your children. This is supposed to be the night that they go dress up however they want, do what they want, have fun, carefree, getting the candy they don't always get, stay up late, you know, that innocent fun. And then somebody turns it into this. It was Thursday, October 31st, 1974. All the kids were getting off the bus from school and running home to get changed into their Halloween costumes to start trick-or-treating. Which, that part's fun, too. I remember the girls, as soon as they got home off that bus, makeup goes on, hair's done, and they're ready to go at like 5. And I'm like, y'all, it's not even time to go. I don't care. We're going.
They were ready.
Yeah.
Even Tori.
Yep, even Tori.
Tori did it, too.
So I'm going to post some really cute Halloween pictures of Seth and Tori. Just for your guys' viewing pleasure. So
there's probably pictures of us dressed up, too.
Probably. I know there are. So I'll post some to Facebook and be on the lookout for that. Check out some of our Halloween costumes. And then Garrett, my other little brother, we talked about this too. For like 3 years in a row, he wanted to be Batman. So he would dress up as Batman, but as soon as Mom bought the costume, like he lived in that costume. And then he would wear it, of course, Halloween night. And then for months after, he would wear it until he couldn't fit it anymore. And then by that time, it was time to get a new one. And Mom would be like, what do you want to be for Halloween? And he'd be, Batman. I'd be Batman. So for 3 solid years, Garrett was Batman for Halloween.
And secretly, he still wants to be.
Secretly, I think he still dresses up as Batman. Well, the top Halloween costumes for that year were the $6 Million Man, Planet of the Apes, Dracula, superheroes, Raggedy Ann and Andy, and of course, hippies. 8-year-old Timothy O'Brien and his 5-year-old sister Elizabeth were really excited to go out that night, because not only did their dad volunteer to take them, but they were going to go with some family friends, the Bates family. Once Timothy and Elizabeth put on their costumes, Timothy dressed as Planet of the Apes and Elizabeth as a princess. Their dad, Ronald, took him over to the Bates house to eat a quick dinner and start their night. He had never volunteered for trick-or-treating duty before, so this just added excitement to the kids. Because it's always fun if dad isn't normally the one that takes you, and he's like, all right, I'll take you this year. Like,
and that happened to us for a little while, too.
Yeah, we've mentioned it before. Josh used to work out of town all the time, and it never failed. His hitch would fall on Halloween and on Christmas. So we always kind of, the holidays that we could do on our own, like Christmas, we would actually celebrate like the week before, the week after, depending on his hitches. And Halloween, I mean, we'd try to do trunk or treats when he was in town, but normally it was just me taking him.
Yeah. And it happens this year too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, Ronald O'Brien and Jim Bates walked the streets of the Bates neighborhood and their kids running just ahead of them, going door to door, filling their candy bags. They chose the Bates neighborhood because it was nicer, meaning their candy haul would be better.
Mm-hmm. And like we said before, we used to do the same thing with our kids.
Yeah, we still do. Yeah. Anytime you hear rumors of, oh, this neighborhood hands out full-size candy bars, their kids are like, let's go.
All the kids know.
Yeah.
They know where to go.
Yeah.
All their friends have been talking about it. Now they can text and tell each other where everything's at.
And we live in a small town, so a lot of places have gone to trunk or treating because of safety issues. Mm-hmm. But luckily, we live in a small town to where they do still do trick or treating. And there's some neighborhoods where they have like a little haunted house that you can go through, or they have shot or treat where you can walk the neighborhood and parents get a shot, the kids get a treat. That one's fun. So
that was fun. We did that one year.
Yeah. Yep. I love Halloween. We love Halloween. Too. Well, they came across a house that did not have its lights on, but decided, let's try it anyways. Let's just see. So Ronald walked his kids up to the door while Jim hung out by the street and the kids rang the doorbell. Well, you know how kids are. They didn't come to the door, and immediately, if they don't see movement in like 2 seconds, they're on to the next house. So Ron was just like, I'll hang out here just in case they come. If you want to go ahead and take them to the next house, I'll catch up to you. So after just a few quick moments, Ronald ended up catching back up with his kids and Jimmy Bates. And Ronald catches up and says, you guys have rich neighbors. Look what they're handing out, while holding 5 giant pixie sticks. That would be a good haul. Pixie sticks and children are like the holy grail, like that. They love pixie sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't just the normal 6-inch long pixie stick, but the jumbo sized ones that are like 24 inches tall.
Oh, yeah, they're crazy.
The huge ones.
They're not paper, they're plastic.
You
can't open them without a pair of scissors.
Yeah. Well, back then, well, we'll get into that in the packaging. The packaging has since changed.
Mm.
So, at this time, they used cardboard tubes. The kids were super excited and asked where he got them. And that's when Ronald told them that somebody ended up coming to the door of the house without the lights on. And of course, the kids right then wanted to open their pixie sticks while they were trick-or-treating. And Ronald's like, no, they're too big. It's too chaotic. Like, just wait till we get home. So they continued to trick-or-treat, but had to stop early because it began to rain. Which, in Texas, that's what happens here. It's either hot as hell outside or pouring down rain.
Mm-hmm.
There's no in-between, ever. It's either raining cats and dogs or hot. Well, when they made it back to the Bates' house, the kids were begging for their pixie sticks. Ronald gave one to his son and daughter, the 2 Bates kids. He gave one to each of them, but he had one left over. Well, they said their goodbyes, and as they were leaving the house, this other kid stopped by to finish up his trick-or-treating, and the kid actually recognized Ronald from church. And so Ronald's like, here, this is all I've got, like, it's the last pixie stick, you can have it. So he gives this kid from church his pixie stick. Everyone ended up with a bunch of candy. Things were winding down for the night, so they decided it's time to head home. So they met up with Ronald's wife. I guess she just hung out at the Bates' house with his wife. And she's like, I need to go to a friend's house before I go home. Do you mind stopping there? He's like, don't worry about it. You go ahead and go. I'll take the kids home and get them ready for bed because they have school the next day. So Ronald takes him home, and they, of course, begin begging. They want candy. I want candy. Please, can I have some candy? But again, they had school the next day, so Ronald told them that he didn't want them. What was that?
I'm not sure.
That did not sound good.
Is it? Maybe it was Jackson tackling his
thing. Oh, yeah, probably. So they had school the next day. Ronald told them that he didn't want them all sugared up right before bed. So he made a deal with Timothy and Elizabeth. And he said, you can pick out one piece of candy before bed. And we're going to put the rest up. You can have the rest tomorrow. Elizabeth, of course, she had to dig through her treat bag. She didn't know which one she wanted. She finally found a piece of candy. Said, okay, this is what I want. Timothy knew what he wanted. Like, he's like, I know what I want. I don't even have to look. I want that pixie stick. And he said, okay. So he grabs the pixie stick. He's struggling to get, he can't get it open. Like, he's trying to open it, but he can't get it open. And there was a staple that was actually holding the tube closed at the end of it. And he finally got it open. He tilts his head back, and he's just waiting for that pure sugar to hit his tongue. To his surprise, nothing came out. So he took it to his dad, and he's like, hey, I can't get anything out of it. And that's one thing that grosses me out about pixie sticks is when they get wet and they get, like, sticky, and those kids slobber all over it, and they're like, I can't get any more. What the hell do you want me to do? I ain't touching that. That's gross. But he takes this to his dad. He's like, hey, I can't get the pixie stuff out of it. And so he's like rolling it through. He rolls it through his fingers. He gets it broke up, gives it back to Timothy. Timothy tilts his head back, eats some of the sugar, and he's like, something don't taste right. It tastes funny. So this dad thought it would be a great idea. Not only is he handing his son a huge tube of pure sugar before he goes to bed, he goes, oh, it don't taste right? Let me go get a cup of Kool-Aid, and we'll just dump it in the Kool-Aid and mix it up. Instead of saying, let's throw it away and get a different one, let's put it in this already sugar juice and add more sugar to it so that it tastes okay. So he gets a cup of Kool-Aid, breaks it up, dumps it in there, mix it up. Timothy drinks his Kool-Aid, and he's like, okay, I'm going to bed. Almost immediately, Timothy begins to feel sick. His stomach starts hurting. He begins vomiting. Ronald runs to the bathroom to help his son, and he realizes very quickly he needs to call 911. Something's not right. Timothy then started convulsing. His heart rate slowed, and he ended up going completely limp and then dying in his dad's arms waiting for an ambulance. So they, of course, rush him to the hospital. They're trying to revive him. They rush him to the hospital. They end up declaring him dead. While at the hospital, Ronald began complaining of a stomach ache as well. And of course, the hospital is freaking out because that's how Timothy started, and he went downhill so quick. So they're like, we need to pump your stomach. Obviously, you guys ate something that was similar. We've got to do something. We're going to pump your stomach. Miraculously, I'm good. I'm all right. Stomach ache went away. No need. So let that sit there. Well, after Timothy's death, they, of course, they're trying to figure out what's going on. So very quickly, they sent his body to have an autopsy done. Like, that night, they're like, we need to see what happened. In his stomach, they found 16 milligrams of cyanide. His blood had 0.4 milligrams, which is a fatal dose of cyanide. A fatal dose in cyanide in the bloodstream is only about 0.2 to 0.3 milligrams. So he had double that in his bloodstream. Timothy had enough cyanide in his blood to kill two adults. And that's not even including the 16 milligrams he had that was still in his stomach that hadn't even been absorbed. News traveled fast about the coroner's findings. The police started investigating very quickly, trying to find the person responsible. The first stop, of course, was the O'Brien's home. That is where they discovered that Timothy's pixie stick that still had traces of cyanide in it was there. They also found Elizabeth's pixie stick from the night, and it contained 4 inches of cyanide in the straw.
Oh, my God.
They decided to go ahead and check the Bates children's candy and discovered that both of their candy straws hadn't been eaten yet either. Both had 4 inches of cyanide in them. Mark Bates had actually tried to open his, but he couldn't open it due to the staple in it. He took it to his mom and he's like, hey, can I have this? And she's like, bro, I just cleaned my house. That makes a mess. You can wait till tomorrow. He's like, all right, cool, cool, cool. So he took it to bed. And he's like, screw what mom said. I'm getting the sucker open. So he tried to get it open, and he fell asleep trying to open it, and he never got it open. Later, Mark would tell an ATV crew that it was the biggest piece of candy he ever seen. The fifth pixie stick was discovered before the other child had eaten it as well. So luckily, they made it to that fifth kid with the pixie stick before he consumed any of it. So that's 5 of them. They discovered that each pixie stick had enough cyanide to kill 3 adults. Families started bringing their children's candy to the police station to be checked or throwing all of it away. However, no other candy was found to be tampered with. It was only the 5 pixie sticks.
Where the hell does somebody get 4 inches of cyanide from to begin with?
We'll get there.
Huh.
The news and parents were, of course, panicking about where the poison candy came from at this point. Because, again, it's an innocent holiday for these kids. You send them out, you think they're safe, and then all of a sudden a child is dead from ingesting it. 4 other kids had some and luckily hadn't consumed it yet. Is it some rando? Like, where did it come from? Ronald told the police of the house that they went to without the light on. He told him the kids went ahead with Mr. Bates while he waited to see if someone came to the door. That is when the door opened just a small crack and a man with very hairy arms shoved the 5 pixie sticks into Ronald's hand and was like, here you go, get off my porch. The police took Ronald around the neighborhood trying to locate the house, but he couldn't remember the exact location. The authorities thought he was a grieving parent. Let's just give him a minute to collect himself. We'll try again. So they come back a couple days later. They took Ronald around the neighborhood again, and that was when Ronald spotted the house at 4112 Donna Rail. They knocked on the door. No one answered. So then they look up, like, who lived there, who was the owner of the house, and it was a man named Courtney Melvin. Melvin worked at the Houston airport as an air traffic controller, and he was actually working his shift at that moment they were at his house. So the authorities decided, we'll go to him, we'll go interview him where he's at. Let's kind of, I guess, surprise him so he doesn't have time to figure out a story. But after questioning Melvin, he completely denied giving anybody candy that night. He said he was actually working the night of Halloween. So, of course, the police checked his alibi. They went through the work records. And sure enough, Melvin was at work that night. He was not at home. There's no way he could have given the candy to the O'Brien, Ronald O'Brien. So the police started back at square one and looking at the O'Brien family again. And that is when they come across some troubling information. So once they started digging into the O'Briens, they found out that Ronald could not keep a job. But by the time he was 30, he had 21 different jobs in 5 different cities over Texas in a span of 10 years. You haven't had that many. You've had a few, but maybe not that many. As long as you don't cyanide my children, we're good. Ronald was asked to quietly leave after being suspected of fraud and embezzlement from a few of the jobs. At that time, it was very much just sweep it under the rug, make them go quietly, and not, like, bring attention. So they would just be like, you need to go. We're not pressing charges. But because of that, the next job wouldn't know, and he would do the same thing. And then he'd go to the next job and the same thing. So it just kept happening over and over and over. Ronald was then hired as an optician at Texas State Optical shortly before Timmy's death. The O'Briens were in debt and had no end in sight. In 1974, the house they lived in was foreclosed on. They all owed on, like, several different loans, back taxes, like a bunch of stuff that they were really behind on. The O'Briens ended up having to relocate to a small townhouse that they would rent. And that's one reason they also went to the Bates, is because they knew that neighborhood and it was a nicer neighborhood than what they were able to rent a house in. What's that noise? Is that your stomach?
It might have been.
Or a demon. Is it your tummy or is it a demon?
I don't know.
Well, they were very active in the Baptist church. Ronald brought home, this was wild to me, Ronald brought home about $150 a week, or about $7,800 a year, which would be equal to about $52,000 a year today. $7,800 a year was actually a little bit below, like, the median income rate, so a little bit lower than middle class. They also discovered that Ronald was behind about 8 months on his car payment. Want to guess what his car payment was every month?
$30.
$150.
Must be nice.
Yes, yeah, no kidding. With all his debts, it totaled to be about $100,000, which would be about $500,000 today. Ronald tried numerous times to secure new loans to cover the old ones, but of course they denied him every time. They're like, you're already behind on all this. I'm not giving you a loan. In early 1974, Ronald decided to buy life insurance policies for his two children. The two policies were for $10,000 apiece. When his wife found out about the policies, she kind of like got upset, like, they didn't have a whole lot of extra money, and it really seemed like kind of like an unnecessary expense.
You know, that's crazy that you say that it was a $10,000 life insurance policy back then.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, my kid's life insurance policy is about the same.
About the same. So that's a pretty large, especially if they're not like a contributing financial person in the family, that's a pretty big loan.
Well, yeah, loan.
Or not loan, life insurance policy.
Yeah, but think about it. If everything was five times less then, that means the life insurance policy then was...
I know, but that's what I'm saying is, yeah, $10,000, and they're not even, like, they're not providing for the family financially. So if they pass away, it's not like they're losing
money. Oh, I see what you're trying to tie that in now.
Yeah, they're not losing money. So $10,000 is a lot.
Yeah, and then compared to today, you can barely bury somebody for that much.
Yeah, wild. Well, Ronald convinced her it was needed and made sure that the premiums were paid before anything else. So nothing else got paid until those life insurance got paid. In August of 1974, Ronald happened to ask his manager to order some cyanide. It was used to polish the gold frames of glasses, like way back in the day. And the manager was like, that's been phased out. It was phased out in the 50s and due to the risk of the cyanide. So I'm not doing that. I'm not ordering it. Just use what we have and what we've been using. I'm not ordering cyanide. Well, Ronald, he would pressure the manager and asked if, like, could somebody above you? Can I go above you to order it? And he was like, they're not going to order it either. What are you talking about? And then Ronald even started talking to some of his colleagues about the professional use of cyanide and, like, kind of hoping, I guess, to get them on board to support him. And then he went above his manager to try to order it, and it was denied. They're like, no, we're not doing that. Well, when that didn't work, Ronald contacted someone he used to work with at a chemical company in Houston. He explained to his old coworker that he was talking to some junior taking some junior college classes, and his professor wasn't, like, covering what he thought he should be covering. And he's like, he was kind of like, I want to kind of show him up and show him my knowledge of chemicals and all this stuff. And somehow, this conversation morphed into how cyanide works to kill someone and how much was needed. So I'm going to pause right here. I told you earlier, but I'm going to say it again. If I wasn't on FBI's watch list because of my search history, I am now, because I had to search things like, What happens to your body when you take cyanide? How much does it take to kill somebody? Where does one get cyanide from? It was like, suicide prevention, suicide prevention, suicide prevention. I'm like, okay. So you can save yourself from having to do the Googling that I had to do. I'm going to go ahead and tell you a little bit about cyanide. It only takes about a third of a gram to kill someone in just a few days, and only half a gram to kill someone instantly. When cyanide is mixed with the moisture in your mouth, it becomes hydrocyanic acid. It then enters your bloodstream quickly, and it stops your body from being able to use oxygen. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes to die. During those 10 to 15 minutes, your body will start to convulse, you go into organ failure, and then basically your brain just shuts down and lights out. You're done. So, FYI. So, Ronald would then ask his old coworker, where could one maybe get some cyanide? And the coworker gave him a list of a few places he thought he could get some. While he's doing all of this, Ronald's job is starting to become suspicious of him because the till every day is coming up short when he's working. So they're kind of confused at first because he's like this big family guy, very involved with the church, and it just didn't seem like something he would do. And of course, all the previous cases have been swept under the rug, so there's nothing showing that this is a pattern of behavior for him. Mm-hmm. So Ronald ends up going and he purchases even more life insurance on his children right before Halloween. This time, upping the amount to $30,000 per child. He specifically asked the insurance agent not to mention the adjustment to his wife. Like, she don't need to know about this. I'm just doing it. He also lowered the life insurance on himself and his wife and said, don't tell her about that either. That's just between you and me, buddy. So, there's that.
I did that to keep the payment the same so she wouldn't notice.
Well, no, I didn't even think about that. That's a good point. I'm watching you.
Don't worry, I'm not that smart.
Oh, obviously, you thought about it. I didn't. Guys, if I'm dead, he did it.
No, I didn't. I'm not taking care of those kids by myself.
Well, that wasn't the only thing he was keeping from his wife. Late that summer, Ronald was forming a plan with his buddy, Jimmy Bates, the one that went trick-or-treating with him and his kids. They wanted to make extra money, and so they were going to go in and basically go in halves and buy a house together. They picked out the neighborhood they wanted it in, they picked out, like, what town they wanted it in, and the two thought it would be, like, a great idea for this extra income. And Jimmy's like, well, I've got my part. You need to pay your part. And he's like, don't worry. I'll have the money soon. It's coming. Just hold tight for a little bit. I've got it. Well, as Halloween approached and Ronald finally found someone that he could get cyanide from. Oh, I pushed the wrong button.
You do that every time or just with me?
No, every time. It's because the side arrow is by the down arrow, and it, you know, it's because of the person that I am. Hmm. As Halloween approached, Ronald finally found someone he could get cyanide from. However, the supplier told Ronald that, I guess whatever excuse Ronald came up with that he would need it for, the guy's like, you don't need much for that, and we only sell it in bulk, but here's a number to somebody that you can get a smaller quantity from. So he's referred to someone else, and that is when he purchased a 5-pound sack of cyanide. 5 pounds.
Oh my God.
So, as all this is going on, loan officers and bill collectors, of course, are calling Ronald nonstop. He was like 8 months behind on his car payment. House has been foreclosed on. He has all these other loans that are outstanding, and they're like beating down his door. And he was able to convince them that he had money coming in, but it wouldn't be there until like the end of the year. And he was able to convince them to delay his payments to kind of cool him off for a little bit until he had this large sum of money come at the end of the year. Well, on Halloween Day, Ronald was bragging to his coworkers about this cool little pocket stapler that he bought. He's like, check out my stapler. And then some coworkers claimed to have seen him walk to his car with the stapler and like a bag of something. They didn't know what it was. It was just a bag. He opened his trunk and spent some time working on something in his trunk with this 5-pound bag and a stapler. He then comes back in to the place of business and he begins bragging to one of his coworkers, I'm fixing to come into a large sum of money. I'm fixing to quit. Like, I'm not going to work here anymore. The authorities then discover that Ronald had called the insurance company at 9 a.m. on November 1st, literally just hours after Timothy had passed away. He wanted to know how to collect the claim from his son's death. Just 30 minutes later, he then called his bank, where he asked to collect on another life insurance policy that he had on his child. This guy's an idiot. As the police were growing more suspicious of Ronald, they also found a stapler, a knife, and scissors in the O'Briens' home.
And 100 pixie sticks all to the pieces.
They all had the purple cardboard residue that was similar to the pixie stick packaging, along with like a sugar coating on all of those things. The authorities were able to determine that the O'Brien Bates children and the one child that received his directly from O'Brien were the only ones that received giant pixie sticks that night. So they narrowed it down to where they're getting it from. Slowly, the police were talking to witnesses who all came forward with the information about Ronald's interest in cyanide, him saying he's coming into money. They talked to the insurance adjusters or insurance, I guess that's what they're called, the insurance people, about the claims. And so now they're starting to connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to talk to Ronald's wife. So they bring her in for questioning and that is how she found out about the increased life insurance policies and that Ronald had stopped paying for the policies for himself and her. So she had no clue that he did that. She was shocked and had a look of disbelief on her face. When they discussed the family finances, that's when she found out exactly how much debt that they were in, and she had no idea it was that bad. No clue. Less than a week after Timothy O'Brien was killed, his father was arrested for his murder and the attempted murder of 4 other children. He continued to deny the allegations. He never admitted to it, even to the time of his death. He said, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. Just 7 months after Timothy was buried, Ronald's trial began on May 5th, 1975. The prosecution laid out all the evidence they gathered. Ronald's only defense was they had a few people come forward as like character witnesses, and they were basically just said, I don't see him doing this. He's a great guy. He goes to church. He's a great dad. He would never do this.
But how often do you hear that same thing?
Mm-hmm. Because they put on a mask. They're like a chameleon. Yeah. And then when they realized that that wasn't really working, they started saying, well, you know, this has been a rumor for a long time. This was somebody else that did this, and he's just getting blamed for it. You guys need to find the real guy that did it, which mm-hmm. is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. There was actually one in Chandler where I seen this lady was getting in trouble for, like, embezzling money from a company.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen the same thing. People going, like, I just don't see her doing this. And
it's crazy.
This is all a lie and a whole bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I can see that because, I mean,
you don't expect it.
You don't. And you never really know what situation somebody might have been in that caused them to be that way.
Yeah.
And they put on a front and you never see the dark side.
Yeah. And of course, if they're trying to cover up, they're going to be minding their P's and Q's to make sure they don't get caught.
It's kind of like Facebook. Facebook's the same way. You know, you see only the best points in people's lives.
Yeah.
Occasionally, you see bad posts.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's all good stuff, so.
Yeah.
You never really see the downs. You just see the ups.
Right. Well, this pixie stick stalk went down for a little while after the murder, only recovering once police actually explained during the trial about the staples and that they're not actually part of the packaging. He put those in there. They would actually seal the ends with heat and close it. That way they wouldn't happen. They didn't have the staples in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on June 3rd, the jury deliberated for only 46 minutes, and they found Ronald O'Brien guilty and sentenced him to death.
Death by pixie stick?
I wish. Seth and I were talking. Well, you were in here. You did that one with us. Give him three pixie sticks. Like, all right, one's laced with cyanide. Good luck.
Yep.
On March 31st, 1984, it's closer to your birthday, he was executed by lethal injection at midnight, but not before he gave his last words. Ronald said, so this is him denying it to the day that he died, "What is about to transpire in a few moments is wrong. However, we as human beings do make mistakes and errors. This execution is one of those wrongs, yet doesn't mean our whole system of justice is wrong. Therefore, I would give all who have taken part in any way in my death. Also, to anyone I have offended in any way during my 39 years, I pray and ask your forgiveness, just as I forgive anyone who offended me in any way. And I pray and ask God's forgiveness. I pray and ask God's forgiveness for all of us, respectively, as human beings. To my loved ones, I extend my undying love. To those close to me, know in your hearts I love you and all. God bless you all, and may God's best blessings be always yours. P.S. During my time here, I've been treated well by all TDC personnel. So, yeah.
This guy is a piece of work.
Yeah.
Like, what a pompous way to say bye.
Yeah. Well, a crowd gathered around the prison of Huntsville that day, and they could be heard chanting trick or treat by other inmates on the inside. They said it was a lot of college kids from whatever big colleges over there by Huntsville. The murder of Timothy O'Brien forever changed in Halloween. Forever changed Halloween in America. What was once an innocent night of neighborhood fun and homemade treats became shrouded in fear and suspicion. Parents began inspecting every piece of candy. Communities introduced trunk-or-treats or store-bought sealed treats became the only safe option.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald O'Brien, who came to be known as the Candy Man, shattered a nation's trust for the sake of greed, turning a beloved holiday into one marked by caution. Nearly 50 years later, his crime still lingers as a haunting reminder that some real monsters don't hide under masks. They live among us. So there you go. There's your first true crime story.
That one was a pretty good one.
Yeah. And like I said, like, it's just so much more sinister with it being a child's holiday and his own father that did it and took that away just because he was in debt. Wild. I mean, sometimes I want to square up with our children, but I never think about giving them a pixie stick full of cyanide.
I mean, you're pushing it. I've had some pretty evil thoughts about those evil things. Those children are demons.
We do have some demons. Nah, they ain't.
They have their moments where they're good.
Yeah.
Only when they're sleeping.
Yeah, that's about it.
As my dad would have said.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it. I think you're going to look into another Candyman.
Mm-hmm. I found several different Candyman stories.
Yeah. So I want that first one. I'm going to make you research it. I think we said, what, November 10th?
I'll probably just put two of them together.
Okay. I want want details. I don't want you to skim over it. I need details. I need the gritty, the dirty, gritty details.
You're only going to get that if you research it. And you know this.
I know.
I mean, I can only give you a certain amount. If you want details like that, you're going to have to look into it.
I don't have time. I'm excited about Tori's episode that I'm doing next.
Yeah.
That one's going to be good. I was listening to some of the recordings at work while I was cleaning, and I was like, I got goosebumps. I was like, oh, I'm going to freak her out.
Can you tell me about that one? Or?
I'll bleep it out. It's it's really good. I think it happened over in Germany. But yeah. So I just bleeped all of that out. So y'all have no idea what I just told him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's creepy. It is so creepy. And that's going to be Tori's first spooky episode. So I'm going to make sure it's dark in here. And I want to do it at night. Because I want Tori to be freaked out. And if I play some of those recordings, she's going to freak.
We need to do some better lighting in here.
Yeah, we need to get our thing ordered. We need to do better lighting. We've been kind of slacking. We've been busy. Kids' birthdays.
Yeah, but you can't say that because now the holidays are...
I know. So if anybody in your family wants to do anything for us for Christmas, gift cards to Amazon so we can
set this up. Actually, that's a really good idea.
That's really what I want. We can get each other things for the podcast room, like a mixer.
Yeah, that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Then we can actually have two microphones instead of just one. We found out a few things that we need that help push this to the next level.
Yeah, we didn't know. We jumped in not knowing anything. I did minimal research. Was like, let's figure it out.
Yeah.
It's part of our ADHD. We thrive in chaos.
Mm-hmm.
We just figure it out as we go.
That's why I have about 37 hobbies.
Yeah, me too. But it happens. It happens. So... All right. Well, I guess we got to go get ready for Haunted House.
Sounds like a plan.
Don't do it loud. Be like, bam, in their ear. Never going to come back.
Jump scare.
Yeah. We'll get like a 1-star rating.
Everything was great except for 40 minutes in.
Clap. The clap got us. All right, guys, well, go like, share, comment, rate. You guys have been doing great. Our numbers growing up. Mm-hmm. I see we have a lot of, I'm guessing, recurring listeners. I can't see who's listening, but they're like random places. And I can't see multiple people from that random place listening in other states. So
mm-hmm.
make sure to jump on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok and say hi. We'll give you guys a shout out, especially ones that we don't know. There's been some like in Virginia and Michigan and everywhere. It's really cool to see that.
Even some overseas.
Yeah, some we've had Germany and Australia and mm-hmm. all these places. It's really cool.
It'd be really cool to hear some of your stories.
Yeah, oh. Send us your local legends that we can check out. It'd be mm-hmm. really neat. So, and then I guess soon I'll be working on sweatshirts so we can post those soon so you guys can order those. And I've been having fun.
Me too.
All right.
It's been a fun adventure so far.
It's been so much fun with you.
You're pushing it.
Oh. Okay. Well, before I get in trouble, before he laces my... pixie stick with cyanide. I guess we better get off of here.
What do you mean before?
I was drinking your drink.
Exactly.
Have you built up an immune system, so now you're just going to start poisoning that, and that way when you get tested, be like, I was poisoned too, bro.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually been cases like that.
Like that guy on The Princess Bride.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that movie.
That is a good movie. All right. Well, we're going to get off here so we can go clean the house, get our kids ready to go scare the living daylights out of them, especially Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be so much fun. I'll see if I can get
video. I wish we could film it.
I'll see what video. I also don't really want to post his face on the public platform, but we'll see. Maybe we will.
You can always just blur it out.
Yeah.
And then we can just have the scared sound footage.
Yep. All right. But we'll see y'all next week. Bye. See y'all later. Sorry, before somebody else calls me.